education compared to women with only a primary education or less. Despite the fact that fistula surgeries have a high success rate, close to 95%, so many women in the Global South go their whole lives without seeking treatment or reparative surgery. The main reason for this is economic. As mentioned earlier, the average woman suffering from a fistula is young, illiterate, and from a rural area with no economic resources. Even if they are able eventually to reach a hospital that has a surgery unit, they often cannot pay even the modest rates that surgeons charge in African hospitals. Additionally, hospitals don't see fistula repair as urgent or life-threatening, so these patients get pushed to the bottom of the surgery list anytime someone comes in with injuries from a car crash or other accident. It is hard for these patients to compete with other surgery patients who can A, pay full price for surgery, and B, have more life-threatening injuries. This is why we need specialized centers for fistula repair. Another reason so many women don't seek reparative surgery is the stigma associated with fistula. Some women feel ashamed or guilty about this condition and therefore avoid going to the hospital. The final reason many women do not receive the treatment they need is because they do not know there is a cure. In one sample of 231 bedridden fistula patients in Tanguita, Benin, 24% recalled that the primary reason they did not seek treatment sooner was lack of knowledge that it was available. Lydia will now explain more of the societal consequences of fistulas in Africa specifically.
Before we can begin to discuss how to treat it and what organizations and locals are doing to prevent this illness, we must look at how this epidemic has stayed so strong for so long and what social structures have given and maintained its power. Cultural traditions such as early marriage and patriarchal values combined with widespread poverty and malnutrition have paved the way for neglected tropical diseases such as obstetric fistulas to ruin and take so many lives in sub-Saharan Africa. Societal norms around how to give birth and access to professional health care also increase the likelihood women will develop fistulas. Sub-Saharan Africa, in addition to the developing nations in the Middle East, have been named the fistula belt because they represent the majority of obstetric fistula cases. How have cultural norms and societal values impacted pregnant women in the area? One girl shares her story.
My name is Talana Shabura. I am 14 years old. I was promised in marriage when I was 3, betrothed at 10, and pregnant at 12. After 3 days of labor, I was carried on a stretcher to a hospital, where my baby died 2 hours later. The obstructed bladder left me incontinent. I smell, and I feel so ashamed.
In sub-Saharan Africa, 40% of girls are married before they turn 18. As with most cultures, society expects newlyweds to have children, so early marriage means early child-rearing. The majority of fistula patients are prima gravida and 20 years old or younger, some even being as young as 13 or 15, as we heard. Many girls in this region get pregnant so young they have not reached their full maturity. Since these girls are still growing, their pelvises may not be large enough to allow a baby to pass through. Being short in height is also a risk factor for obstructed labor, so younger women tend to be more at risk in this sense as well. Many families in this region have low income, which increases the likelihood that these girls are malnourished, which in turn increases the likelihood that they are short because of stunted growth. The tradition of child marriage endangers the young mothers and their children because many of them are not mature enough to become pregnant without great risk. The families who tend to marry off their daughters early live in poverty and reside in rural regions. Living in poor rural areas comes with limited, if not non-existent, access to emergency obstetric care. Coupled with little access to healthcare, traditionally in this region, women have their first birth in their mother's home. These, among other factors, lead to 74% of women having home births without a skilled attendant. Customarily, women may have a traditional birth attendant, though these women usually lack any midwifery training, so when an emergency arises, they are unsure how to proceed. The decision to go to a health facility in itself leads to many delays during delivery. First, very few pregnant women actually decide for themselves that they should receive emergency care. Almost 70% of the time, this decision is made by the husband, the father, or the mother-in-law, with less than 7% of the time women choosing for themselves. Even traditional birth attendants need the husband's permission before they can refer a woman to a healthcare facility. Since the dominant social structure is patriarchal, the husband and their family tend to not only decide where the birth is to occur, but also are in control of any and all funding. Finances can also be a barrier, as transportation to a hospital, as well as the medical care in the hospital, can be expensive, especially for poor rural families. Even if the woman wants to give birth in a healthcare facility, plans may have to change, as one woman explains.
I planned to deliver at a hospital, but it was not possible because I did not have cash and I did not know where I would get the money from.
Another woman explains how fear of humiliation kept her from going to a healthcare facility during her obstructed labor.
When labor started, I did not go to the dispensary because I was told to go to my only hospital to give birth. Now, if I would have gone back to the dispensary, they could have embarrassed me.
If the decision is made to reach a healthcare facility, transportation becomes the next barrier. Since the majority of these fistula cases are in rural regions, the nearest dispensary may be miles away, and 74% of these women have to travel by foot, either because there's no public transportation available or because it's too expensive. One woman explains.
In our village, there is no dispensary and there was no transport. We had to walk for 3 hours to get to Moonbeam Mission Hospital. I had very strong labor pains, and after about 2 hours walk, I felt like something had ruptured in the womb. I started bleeding and we had to stop and rest before I could manage to continue walking.
Another woman remembers how far away her nearest hospital was.
From our village to Iski, midway to Mayoni Hospital is 24 kilometers, and there is no means of transport. Therefore, when labor pain started, everybody was confused because I could not walk, and there were no means of transport to take me to my only hospital. Therefore, I remained at home.